Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Backstage with Six Eyes here for a Saturday, October 21st, 2023. How's everyone doing this evening?
I'm doing great tonight, Six. How are you doing?
I am doing great, doing great. Well, again, thanks for asking. I hope everybody had a beautiful Saturday. Got my shopping out the way. Have some TV nostalgia going on before our guest gets here. Tonight we'll be interviewing songwriter Craig the Hitman Baxter. Stereo, the Hitman Baxter. So we're going to be interviewing him. Phone lines are open at 5-605-9340. 5-605-9340. But before we do that, let's check in with our mental. I'm giving two thumbs up, and for trumpet, two paws up.
And I've got two thumbs up, my wings are spread, and my halo's on just right, Six.
All right, sounds good, sounds good.
And I got two thumbs up, and I have my halo fell off.
Okay.
I had to be funny.
Hopefully you find it before. Okay. Sounds good. All right. So things are getting better in Israel. Things are getting better. Some Americans are being sent home. So we just want to continue to pray for the world and what's going on over there. Our colleague Tim Gruber is safe. Wolfgang spoke with him. So that's a blessing. And we just want to just have continued prayer for the world. Amen.
Yeah, and tonight on Kicking It, we've got a clip from him that we're going to play, as well as going to try to trip Six up tonight with a song.
All right,
sounds
good.
And it looks like your guest is here, guys.
All right. All right, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Craig Baxter. Good evening, sir. How you doing? All right, you have to press the one.
His mic is open, Six.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Craig, if your phone is on mute, you'll have to unmute yourself.
Welcome to the 6 Eyes Radio Backstage.
What's up, Six?
Hello, who is this?
It's your best radio personality.
Hello, Road. How you doing?
Hey, Road. How are you, honey?
I'm good.
Okay, so we're waiting for Craig.
For who?
Craig, the gentleman I'm interviewing tonight.
Okay.
Yepper. Later on tonight on the 6 Eyes Radio Network, call 424-243-9617 at 11:30. We'll be having another great show. If you haven't done so already, go join the 6 Eyes Radio Network group. Join the 6 Eyes Radio Network group. It's just like it sounds. 6 Eyes Radio Network, and it's a group. So as we await our guest, what did everybody do this morning, this Saturday?
Well, I was enjoying a book most of the day.
Okay, what book was that?
Where the Wild Rose Blooms by Laurie Wick.
Okay.
I recommend that author. She's fantastic. She does a lot of Christian literature, but she's really good. I mean, she knows what she's writing.
Sounds good.
And I've been listening to Star Trek, the old Star Trek. That show, I tell you, I watched the whole thing just about. it's still the same. Of course, a couple of the actors are gone now, but still, you know, it's fun to watch it again, still. I was actually involved in a Star Trek club when I was in school. So.
Oh, yeah?
You have to tell them about your story about your brother, Ken. That was funny. You know, about your grandfather, Ken? I don't think he's hearing me.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, keep a lookout for that board.
She's watching it, Six.
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm watching it for the gentleman.
So, yeah, that was an interesting story, Six. The place where we lived with our grandparents is the kitchen and the living room. They were connected by two doorways, one on each end, and you could almost actually run around like a racetrack between the two rooms. And my brother Tommy, he was, you know, with the Star Trek, you know how they would, you know, with the when you beam them up or whatever, they'd say energize me. Well, he got up and he started running around between the two rooms like a racetrack, and he'd be screaming, energize me, energize me, energize me, right? My grandfather was sitting at the one end of that in his recliner, and he got sick and tired of my brother saying that, and he had this paddle sitting right in the chair with him, and by the time my brother come around, finally about the seventh time around through there, he snatched my brother up, and he says, okay, I'll energize you, and he grabbed him up, flipped him over his knee, and he boom, 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 boom. After that, my brother never asked to be energized again.
I wonder if he still watches that show, Ken.
And every so often, even as an adult, I ask my brother, I go, hey, Tommy, you want to be energized?
Oh, honey. I think what I like was Red Alert. I think I like Captain Kirk the best, though.
So. Anyway.
What's some of the songs this guy owns? Wrote or whatever? He writes songs or he just performs?
Both.
Oh, okay, honey.
Did he say it was going to be delayed, Six?
Everybody's on, sweetie.
So, Six, tell us who this, did you see who the guy is?
Okay.
Six.
All right, you guys still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we're here, buddy.
All right.
Has
he showed up
yet? No, not that I can see.
So you need to tell the people who Craig is.
Well, before I do that, stand by. Before I do that.
All right, everybody. We are waiting for Craig to show up for his interview with Six on the backstage with Six Eyes.
Have you guys heard that new Gaither vocal band yet? Because I've been listening to them on the TV, on Roku. Man, those guys are good, and they got voices like you wouldn't believe. It's called Dream On. It's an actual disc they're showing on the TV, so it's pretty cool. But hopefully this guy will show up pretty soon.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Okay, our guest is here.
All right. Welcome back. All right, you're tuned in to Backstage with Six Eyes on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Phone lines are open to 515-605-9340. And our guest has arrived, ladies and gentlemen. Introduce to you, Craig, the Hitman. How you doing, sir? Good evening.
What's going on, Six Eyes? How you doing?
I'm blessed, brother. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic.
All right. That is good to hear. So for the world, let's introduce yourself.
My name is Stereo the Hitman, a.k.a. Craig Baxter, Cleveland, Ohio's own, and also, second home, New York City and all that. Singer, songwriter, producer, platinum artist, platinum writer, platinum producer, work with the best of them, everybody. And,
before we do that, we're gonna take all that away, and then we're gonna go to the very beginning. Let's go back to Little Craig. Little Craig, how was Little Craig growing up? What was Little Craig's childhood like? And when did the songwriting bug hit you? So let's start from the beginning. Early Craig Baxter, how were you growing up?
Well, when I was young, my father, his name was Gerald Baxter, a.k.a. he's called him Popcorn. I was a drummer, producer, writer. And my mom, she was a jazz singer as well, singing in groups and bands and stuff. Cleveland had a legendary place called the Tucker's Casino that everybody would come to from Motown to Who's Who, and they would be playing there with my parents as well. My father and Eddie LeVert, really tight, family. He played for the OJs as well. So, just growing up in the music, I could be in the basement and come in the living room. Marvin Gaye might be in the living room, The music just was a part of my DNA. It was inevitable. It was just like growing up in a family that had, let's just say, owned businesses, and they were millionaires and billionaires. That child is going to follow his father and mother's footsteps. They're going to bring him into that, area. So it was very impressionable being young. I got into a little mischief here and there, as most adolescents does,
Okay.
Did a little prison time, a little couple of months in the man's field and all that for, doing cars. Stealing cars in Cleveland was a big thing at the time, everybody was just, really on some, I got into a little bit, pretty much, but prison, when I went to jail, that really solidified the fact that I knew what I wanted to do when I got out, because I knew I didn't ever want to go back there again. Writing began in jail. I was a rapper already and a beatboxer and stuff, but I never sung. I was just dope as beatbox, but everybody knew me for beatboxing and rapping. But the reason the beatboxing was so nice because I always could hum a tune, So once I got you know, once I became incarcerated, I realized, I want to do this music thing full time because this jail, you know, that's for the birds. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I never looked back. I never looked back from there.
Okay. Okay. All right. So growing up, so when you sat down and was on vacation, so you realized you wanted to actually become a songwriter, okay? So
mm-hmm.
in the beginning, okay, so writing songs, okay, so can you remember, like, an artist. Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So can you remember the first song you actually sung, and can you remember the first song you actually penned, and what did you write the song on? Because I know that's huge. A lot of celebrities I've talked to, they've wrote
mm-hmm.
songs on just about whatever they can get their hands on, you know.
Well,
so I gotta ask you that. But
when you say the first song I ever sung, my father's uh-huh. band was playing up at this place called the Native Son on Kings.
Okay.
And
okay.
my mother was so fed up with us being bad, she took me up there with my suitcase. And right in the middle of this gig, like, here, you take them, you know. So I went in the club. I'm young as hell. And they band is playing. So his lead singer, which is Charles Hancock, they used to call him Tootie. He was
okay.
like, I was like, I'm going to sing. So I'm up there singing. It's easy, like a Sunday morning, my first time ever singing out. And he was giving me the words in my ear.
Okay.
And I was singing easy like Sunday morning in the club. So
good
selection. From that point, the first song I wrote was called Angie. And the song was so hot that the guys I was dealing with at the time, which I was still young, but, you know, we created the song and it sounded good. And the one dude, his name, Bobby was his name. I don't know if it was his name, but he stole the song and tried to get it off somewhere else. So that gave me my first lesson in songwriting and how to protect myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like my first endeavor in songwriting, which was a good song.
Now, can you remember a little bit of it? Sing us a little bit of it.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I remember the whole thing.
Coming to the stage, Greg Baxter, take it away.
You so crazy. But the song was just like, the song was simple. It was like, Angie, say you'll be the only girl for me. And then, like, I saw you the other day. I just turned around and say, I want to be with you in every step of the way. And then you turned to smile. You know, it was dope before, you know, a first song, you know?
Okay, okay.
It was dope.
So,
it was pretty dope.
Okay.
No.
Excellent.
So this guy, he had little connections and wanted to steal the song and do some other stuff and disappeared on us, you know. Almost
uh-huh,
like the
uh-huh.
little distant story, but they kept it going.
Gotcha. Okay. So outside of your mom and your father, who were some of your other influences that you looked up to artist-wise and songwriting? Who were some of the ones you looked up to early on?
Everything, man. Like and, you know, at the time, WJMO used to play all the urban music. And just everything that came across the radio. My mother used to listen to a lot of radio. You know, my father,
uh-huh.
she had Mad Records, and I just used to play everything and listen to everything. Like, I was just, I was like really a student to the game. Like, everything was music for me. I told my father one day, we were sitting at the piano, and I was like, I'll do this for free. And he was like, for free? What you mean you'll do it for free? But what I was really saying, which at the time I didn't know how to convey my message, but I was saying, like, all I need is a shot. And once
uh-huh.
I get that shot, it's over. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get paid. You know what I mean? Because that's how confident in what I was doing I was.
Uh-huh.
I went on to do my first EP with my father. My father came to the studio, and he orchestrated. He had his background singing, the music and all that. My vocal coach as well, my choir director from I went to Hamilton, and Richard Smith, who was the choir director for a long time up at Corey Baptist Church 105, plus our choir director at Hamilton. And Joe Little was in my choir too. And
what?
Joe Little from the Rude Boys.
Oh yeah, we got got to send condolences out on the passing of his mom. Our thoughts and prayers goes out to your family at this difficult time on the passing of your mom from the 6 Hours Radio Network.
Yeah.
Condolences to your family.
Yeah, Robert Cruz too. His mom just passed as well.
Okay, Robert Cruz. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm familiar. Yeah, Robert Cruz.
So yeah, so
yeah, Robert Cruz actually sung with my cousin, Preston Brown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we, Richard did a song. He played the piano on one of the songs on the EP. So I mean, 93 FM and WQAL played my first two singles. The one was "What You Want to Do for Love." That joint, "What You Want to Do
Bobby
for
Caldwell.
Love," and I had a rap with that. Huh?
Bobby Caldwell remake?
Yeah, I did that over with a rap with it too. And then I have a song called Sunlight, which Barbara Nelson, a lady that wrote this song. Matter of fact, she got in contact with me recently. And Sunlight, Richard played the piano. And man, that song is so pretty and beautiful. So this dude cold on that piano, but he orchestrated the piano for it. But my father quit on me like 20 times. He's like, "This place on the scene, everything, you know, I'm quick." Because, you know, when you're young, you don't even know how to really, being a singer when you're young, you don't know how to stroke the song and do the climax to the end. You're trying to do everything you know through the whole song, you know, just being green, you know. So I learned a lot, you know what I'm saying? I learned a lot, but my pops used to quit on me like a billion times. But he never would quit. He was just like, "Boy, you got to listen. Boy, you got," you know, so. But it came out great. The EP did good. Matter of fact, it was my first step in Billboard. I was in Billboard from that EP. That's when New York started calling for me. You know, I started getting calls from New York. Like, you know, record labels, Roll Runner Records, which was in Next Plateau, which was Salt and Pepper, the label Salt and Pepper was on. Sony. It's just mad people started calling me to New York. So, you know, fast forward. When I got to New York, so that's the childhood, you know, basically the childhood. So ask the next question. I don't want to get ahead of you.
Okay. So we got the early beginnings, singing at the Native Son. Okay, so now you're out the house. Okay, so you're on your own. Okay, because I know some people, I mean, it's like if they don't write, they don't eat. Were you ever in a situation like if you didn't write, if you didn't pen a song, you didn't eat? I mean, did you have some rough beginnings before it got good?
Well, I'll say this. I skipped a lot from Cleveland. Like in Cleveland, I was getting hired to do shows everywhere. Like I did the Hawaiian Luau. I did the show at the Plus with UTFO, which is significant for my New York stuff because we didn't get into that. I did
You know what? I might
show.
Have been at that show, the Plush. The Plush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That was on Miles, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So that that was the time. Yeah. That I remember that show because I wanted that damn troop jacket that Mixmaster Ice had on. I wanted that damn jacket.
Okay. So I beatboxed and was rapping on there. They had this big thing at U.S. Skating Rink, this big contest. We won that. You know what I'm saying? We won that contest. Bango was in that. I don't know if you remember Bango.
Bango the B-Boy Outlaw.
Quick put him out.
He had a baby by Destiny, the dance hall queen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because he went to.
She's passed on now. Destiny. Sandy Crane was her real name, but she went by Destiny, the dance hall queen.
Okay, I wonder what happened to her. I never heard from him.
Yeah, you got to know her.
Was she from Cleveland?
Yeah, she was in Cleveland.
Well, I know I know he thought he was going to win.
You're talking about Banco the B-Boy Outlaw. Craig's on the Rampage, right? Yeah.
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 And he ended up going with the Syndicate with Ice T.
Okay.
He ended up getting a deal with the Syndicate. Ice T had a little quick call with the Syndicate. And so it was just, you know, I did a lot in Cleveland. Like people, like back in our day, you know, in Cleveland, that's why when I come home now and I see all these dudes, I'm like, y'all don't understand how I used to run Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? I was the talking Cleveland, man. I just left. Y'all got a gateway open. You know what I'm saying? I was the man in Cleveland when I was doing that, all that was going on. You know, this was doing the Kango. I mean, this was doing the MC Chill days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and MC Chill. He just left Rock the Bells Radio LL. Shout out to LL, Roxanne Shante.
Yeah.
He just left from up there. So shout out to them from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did the Hawaiian Luau that came with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and MC Shan, Queen Latifah. I mean, MC Shan and Roxanne Shante in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I did that show. So I was on a lot of shows as well. So, you know, now we get to the part where you said, was it a time where I had to eat? Well, you know, where I had to write or I wasn't going to eat, right? This is New York.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So when I got to New York and all these people was calling for me to be this artist, I started learning that being an artist is okay. But I figured it out that every artist is always going to need a writer and a producer. So no matter what artist come through and leave and go, every artist is always going to need a producer or a good song.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't so focused on being an artist no more. My focus was producing and writing and getting stuff done.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
I got two big stories when it comes to eating and writing. One of them is I co-wrote End of the Road. I did When I Can't Sleep at Night, When I Hold You Tight, Each Time You Turn, I Just Break Down. I did all the bridges, right?
Okay.
And I got $60,000 for it, but no credit. And then Babyface threw me, I got a single out right now called Just a Little. Mm-hmm. Babyface threw me that track on the strength because they did me so wrong on that joint. That joint broke all kind of records. You feel what I'm saying? That joint even beat Elvis' record. So could you imagine my name was on it and I was getting residuals from it, what I looked like? Would have been crazy.
Yeah. So And that's another thing we're going to get into later on in the show. We're going to get into the politics of it. Because that's where artists go wrong. Because I don't care how shiny and bright those lights are, your name's on that marquee. You got to have the business again. So we're going to talk about that later on in the show.
Okay. Also, another big moment for me was I got a song right now. Did I tell you that song on Walker Williams? No, I told you I'm going to tell you that. But I got a song on Walker Williams.
We talked about that. Not yet.
Right. That originally I had for Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, fit on perfect. And I've been trying to get to his publisher at Sony for so long. I couldn't just catch this guy for so long. So finally, this is when the Dangerous album was coming out. And finally, I called him. I said, yo, I got the perfect joint for this album coming out. And as soon as I sat in there, he was like, yo, the album already ready. It's packaged and everything. I was tight. And when he heard the record, he was like, yo, that would have been perfect for this record. Michael Jackson, I was 6'5".
Wow.
I was sick. When I tell you sick,
you could have been on there. You could have been on there.
God, Michael Jackson?
Yeah. Because Teddy, matter of fact, hell, Teddy did that whole album. You could have been on there with him.
Man.
Wow.
When I tell you I was sick, and the thing, too, let me go backwards. I know the things that I do works because I came, when I was in New York and I was putting records out on myself, actually, when I had an independent company putting records out and Hot 97 was playing my stuff, I knew one thing. I have to make a record that when a DJ play it, they want to keep playing it. Red Alert was one of the guys who...
DJ Red Alert, okay.
Jonas Brothers. And Red Alert was one of the guys that he don't charge people to play. Like, everybody else, all kind of, they try to play you, you know what I mean? Charge you, and you got to do incentives, like send them champagne, you got to, you know. Red Alert is one of the pure DJs that if he like it, he's going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working with the Jungle Brothers, and Mike in the Jungle Brothers is his nephew. That's Red Alert's uncle. And Mike was like, yo, give me your record. I'm gonna have my Uncle Red listen to it. I think it's a dope record. It was called Summertime. Red Alert got the record, and Red Alert was playing my record at 5 o'clock every day drive time on Hot 97.
Nice. Okay.
You feel me? Now, let me tell you the irony of it. You could not tell nobody this wasn't Montel Jordan. Everybody, I'm going to send you the record. Now, I can send you that record. Everybody swore with me. You're going to know the difference because you know me, but everybody thought it was Montel Jordan.
Wow.
The name of the song is called Summertime.
Okay.
But you're going to know. You'll be able to tell the difference. But that's what they – only because it was the style that I used on the record. That was another thing about me as an artist. I could sound like anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even if I ain't trying to be – I'll just look at it as styles. I learned it from what's the dude named the mate, don't worry, Bobby McFerrin.
Bobby McFerrin,
He said, I don't care who you are as a vocalist, your vocal should be your instrument. He said, you should be able to do anything with your vocals. And he proved it when he did Don't Worry, Be Happy. Every amount of music in that song is all his vocals.
That was a nice song.
So I took that to heart. Huh?
So that was a nice song.
Yeah, and it was all his vocal. It was all his voice. All the, here's a little song I wrote. Everything about that song was all his vocals.
Right.
So I adapted what he said and said, okay, so, you know, I could sound like anybody in the game. You know, a lot of people, even Freddie Jackson was right. Freddie Jackson's like, he said, boy, I'm glad you don't want to be no artist. He said, you would kill a lot of people being an artist. Freddie Jackson told me that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in there writing for him and producing him, he was like amazed. I had him doing shit that he don't normally do. And he even said that. He said, I'm so tired of seeing this straight-laced stuff, but the stuff you got me doing is crazy. And Freddie Cole, they just put him in the box.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think that? Why do they like, you know, like in movies they typecast you. So in artistry,
right,
it's like they tend to keep you in one room,
right,
so you never can venture off and, you know, expand your artistry because they used to you
right
singing one way. And then when you change
because
it,
because if it works, if it works, and they make millions off of it, they want to keep you doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad. Well, you know, it's changing now with all the new artists coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But they figure if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We could make a million off of this. We could keep making millions until the time changes. And that only works in America because all over the world, they still listen to Motown in Europe like it's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not like America. America is here today, going tomorrow. Everywhere else is just vibing and listening to good music. But see, America is a capitalistic place, so they capitalize off of, you know, just getting money.
Gotcha. All right.
You know.
So we're in New York City, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the? I always ask this question. What is the weirdest object you pinned the song on?
Did I pin the song on?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be totally honest with you. When I was in New York, I never pinned the song. I don't know how I wrote so much before I got to New York that every session I'll just go in like Jay Z or somebody and just go off the head. They thought I was a genius. But
okay.
This is just years of writing. And I would just fit the song to the track, whatever it was. I got a lot of work like that. They used to be like, yo, that's cool. I was like, let me hear that. And then I start singing something. Yo, put that down. Oh, that's crazy. But it'd be just some shit I already wrote a long time ago.
So when it comes to songwriting, so for the listeners out there who aspire to be songwriters, what's the formula? I mean, if you had to, for the rest of this show, if you were to give a master class, can you kind of get into the fundamentals of songwriting? I'm talking about from the beginning to the advanced. I mean, just for the listener.
Yeah, I definitely
like
can.
Structure and all that. Like this is your master class moment. Right now, this is
the thing when it comes to songwriting. What people really don't understand about songwriting. Well, I won't say they don't understand, but this is the thing. You have to write with what you hear in your heart. Music is a spiritual thing. It's a universal thing from the universe. When I was really into my writing mode, I never listened to the radio. I didn't listen to the radio. I didn't listen to other music. I would just totally focus on what I hear inside myself. Uh-huh. Your DNA and your soul is going to give it to you. You just have to wait for it, and you have to listen in your head to it. And you'll learn that the song, the music is already there. You just have to make it make sense. And now, which also you asked me, something earlier, like what inspired me to be a writer or a producer. Now, I'm really a type of guy. First of all, I'm a Gemini, so everything has to make sense. I have to really analyze it, and it really has to be psychologically and sync. You know, so I was noticing like the R. Kellys and the Baby Faces and the Michael Jacksons and all the hottest dudes that. What made them dope was they knew not only how to write, but they knew how to produce their own music. If you listen to Babyface never goes, but he'll modulate to, and I feel it. And it feels like he went, because he know how to build that around his vocals.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? R. Kelly, you never hear him go, but you'll hear him say, I believe I can fly, and it feels like that because you know how to build that around his vocals. That's a great producer and a great writer, where you can modulate without taking your voice to a high note, especially if you can't sing a high note. You see? So another person, my mother, you know, I'm always thinking I can go high, I can go low. I remember walking in the spot, and my mom was singing. She's like, come on, boy, get the mic, let's sing and feel the fire. I think my mother sings low. She got that low.
Yeah, my mother sang my ass all the way through
that song. Huh?
I said, your mom was a beast, rest her soul.
Yeah, she killed me through that whole song without a high note, no high note nowhere, and killed it. So you know, these guys that I look at, you know, Prince is one of my top two. As well, and even though he do go high, he's just dope. I think he's just everything. But you know, and a lot of people, believe it or not, slept on Michael Jackson, man. They really slept on Michael Jackson. They don't even understand what magnitude this dude was musically. You know what I'm saying? You hear, she said he was a man. We could always understand that's all right for her, but still it ain't enough for me. I remember I was telling you that those are muscles.
Yeah, muscles. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Michael wrote that.
Never knew that.
You feel what I'm saying? Michael's cold. You know what I'm saying? Michael did a lot of stuff. That boy was cold. He didn't know how to play instruments, but he knew how to beatbox. He'd be like, y'all need to beat the doom-doom, doom-doom, doom-doom. Like, he'll tell them exactly what he hit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? He was cold. People don't know about that, about Michael like that. But, yeah, I have, you know, I just have a few different things that I've absorbed. And I was a student to the game. I didn't just get into that on the scene. I was a student to the game. I learned. And I suggest if you want to be a singer, writer, producer, whatever, study it. Don't just get in there because you think you can make some music. You got to study to get what you need. You know what I mean? Right now, myself at 54, I got a single out right now, a video out right now that's doing numbers. How is that happening? Because once it hit, always it hit. Don't matter how old you are, how young you are. The industry is only looking for something that sounds good.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
You know, I've seen so many come with trash. You know, I like to say the things people scared to say, but I've seen so much trash out there, man, on the internet, man. People just putting it out, and they don't have a clue, but they're looking. I studied the whole internet before I even started thinking about putting a video out. But I'm noticing they always looking for something. They was looking for that soul. Soul ain't something you could just find. That shit is embedded in you. You grow up with soul. Just like being a gangster or a killer. That shit is in you. It ain't just going to come in you if you ain't that type of person.
Right.
That instinct got to be there already. Or at least have somebody around you who got it that could put you in the game.
So what do you feel, in your opinion, what do you feel music is missing today versus the 70s, versus the 80s, even the 90s as well? What do you think music is missing?
To be totally honest, nothing. You know why? Because the music, it changed, and I'm glad it changed because now with this internet, the internet opened it wide open. So now everybody, if you notice, there's no more genres. Everybody is just listening to what they like. No longer catering to a programmer. No longer, that's what, and people don't understand these words, so radio programming. They don't understand they're being programmed to listen to something. And it's always used to happen. How many times you heard a record on the radio, you couldn't stand it, then next week you start singing along with them all.
Uh-huh.
It's programming. That's over with. Now it's a bunch of music out there, and if you like it, you're going to rock with it. It's on your playlist. But what they better watch out for is the conditioning that they're putting them in. See, what they miss is that this is a whole conditioning, the internet. Everybody's putting all their stuff on the internet, their money, their life. And guess what they're going to do? Shut the internet down, start charging them for everything. All their stuff going to be in the internet, their whole life. And they're going to say, oh, well, we're starting to charge for this. We're starting to charge for that. We're going to charge for this. They're setting it up. They're setting people up. It's a conditioning.
Yeah, this metaverse, the metaverse from what they're saying, it's you and then it's you. So
the metaverse was a test run. People, you got to know how America works, man, or how the world works. That's a test run to see if people are going to buy into it. But they got them by the balls with all this Facebook and all this stuff, man. That's when they're going to hit them at. Too many people, come on, man. Everybody I know, even myself, get up in the morning and go straight to that phone.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like the data makes you addicted to this phone. They get up, got to check the phone.
Yeah, a lot of people roll over, you know, just breath still high. You know, you say hello, your phone melt. You know,
right.
I mean, a lot of people look at that phone before they brush those chops.
Yeah.
What's up, Trumpet? What's up? Trumpet want to say hello.
Right here.
What's up, buddy?
But that's the thing. So people don't be understanding the setup, man.
Mm-hmm.
Get you used to something, so used to it, you know, they worried about a chip. The chip is the damn phone.
Yeah. It's just amazing how far technology came, man. I can remember, and we're going to get back on topic, but just to show you how technology has changed. And then what you showed me yesterday, I mean, I'm like amazed because, you know, I'm not at the studio all the time. So to have the studio in my pocket, I mean, it don't get no better.
Exactly.
But first, man, I was still in school. And it's crazy because the substitute teacher, I went to Randall Mall, and I'm walking by, and I'm like, dude, didn't I just see? Yeah, man, teachers ain't getting paid that much. So the same substitute teacher had the cell phone GTE kiosk in the middle of Randall Park Mall. So I said, let me get a phone. So I bought this brick phone, GTE, weighed about a ton. And I bought the phone. I'm getting ready to walk away. So he said, wait a minute. I said, what's going on? He said, you got the phone. I said, yeah, I just gave you the money. I said, you sleepy or something? He said, no. You got the phone, but now you need air minutes. I said, what? He said, you need minutes. I said, I got the phone. What are you talking about? He said, yeah, you got the phone, but you ain't got no minutes. I'm like, what's minutes? So he said, you got to get an air card. I said, I couldn't understand what he was saying. So I said, what do you mean? I said, I bought the phone. I said, now you're trying to sell me something else? He said, yeah, you got the phone, but you see this card right here? I said, yeah. He said, well, it's a minute card. I said, okay, so what? Okay, so show me how to put the minutes on the phone. Oh, and by the way, don't have nobody leave you a voicemail because that runs up the minutes in increments. It doubles it. So wasn't nobody leaving nobody no voicemails back then. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you move from that. Then they had the phones where it was just kind of getting, you know, good. So AirTouch Cellular, which turned into Verizon. You know, and it went from there, man. My first cell phone was a cheap, well, I mean, after the brick phone. My first cell phone cost me $100. It was a cheap-ass audio box. You remember the little short-ass, cheap-ass audio box? Yeah, and I thought I was doing something. You couldn't tell me. I bought that phone, and I go home, and I say, well, let me call the house, and I called the house. Mom answered the phone. Yes. Hey, Mom. Who's this? Your son. Hi, son. I said, yeah, this is me. Well, what's this number? I said, my cell phone. So I go upstairs. I go upstairs. Happy, I'm happy. He said, that's a nice cell phone, son, but look at mine. I said, what, you got a cell phone? And she pulled out the Samson. She pulled out the Samson, the black joint with the little key thing flipped down, and it was voice activated. Man, I said, oh my God. I said, let me get that phone. She's like, oh no, son. Mom got
the kicker though, Sid. This is the kicker, Sid. All this technology's been out, man, years, billions of years ago.
Oh, yeah?
This technology been out billions of years ago.
Yeah.
They got hieroglyphs, man, with laptops and all that.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Man. Come on, just spin out, man. Listen, they give us what they want to give us, man, and then say they discovered it and made it. Nothing new is under the sun. When they say that, they mean that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they going to reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, definitely hear that. Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing.
Yeah, my father.
This technology's been out, man.
Yeah, yeah. But, man, like I said, it's just weird how, you know, what we've experienced. Okay, so you got that then. you know, the phone with the black, with the green screen, the black numbers. Then they switched
right.
to the orange screen with the black numbers, and then after that, it got into color.
Right.
Because I can remember going to work one day, and this chick was like, she worked for a cell phone company, and she said they're working on technology to have when your phone rings. Because before we had the little polyphonic, you know, songs. She said, well, she's
right.
working on a with a company that actually when your phone rings is going to be an actual song, you know. And that was far away. You know, I said, okay, well, I can't wait for that to happen. And now, you know, just look, we went from the color screen, Sprint, Singular, Verizon, you know, now we got the iPhone, we got the Androids, we got the Samsungs. And it's
right.
just, it's amazing. It's amazing. And now with that Band Lab, man, that's cold. That's cold right there. So, I mean, what's going to be next? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like, it's so much, man, that's a whole other topic, man. But trust me, man. Chase, I'm going to tell you something, man. During my travel, during my study in life and of life, man, everything we have ever told in our life, man, has been a lie. And then you have to realize this, too. The earth has a cleansing every so many billions of years or trillions of years or whatever. So you got a whole group of people or a whole race of people or a whole conglomerate of everybody just get wiped away off the earth. Then here comes a whole new set of people. And here comes a whole new set of ideas. Then here come a whole new set of people who find stuff and then say, we could sell it. We could put it this way. We could do it that way. And it's right. The cycle repeats itself. And all the time you're thinking that they discovered something and they made something. And it's been here already. They just found it and remarketing it. If that makes sense. I'm trying to put it in a way you can really understand. And this is what this world is, man. This world don't die. This world was created by universal power. So it don't die. People don't die. They just come back. There's to be a whole new species of people, but they come back. You know what I'm saying? People ain't getting understanding of what this is. They thinking you're going to heaven, you're going to hell. None of that shit exists, man. That was all created by the set of people that came, religion and all that. That's a whole other story. You know, everybody wonder, how you doing? I'm highly blessed. And they go, yeah, well, why the fuck you fucked up? You know what I mean? How blessed are you? You know what I mean? People don't just want to face the reality of the real shit. Only person that bless you that could bless you is you. Only person that could take care of you is you. The God in you. We special on this planet. We could do a lot of things. We can endure a lot of things. We already are created in the way of being gods. We just toned down because the gods before us made such a fucking mess of this place that we had to get our was toned our shit down. So we've been blocked a lot of ways. Women used to have babies on their own. You know what I'm saying? But they can't no more. You know, we used to could think on a whole other level, which we really can, but we just so blocked by all this other shit. You
know you raise a good point because let's just say the computer shut down. Let's just say your laptop, your computer, all technology shut down. Now here's the question for everybody on the panel tonight. How can you remember 30 numbers if your cell phone went down right now? Could you remember 30 numbers? Could you remember 20 numbers?
Nope.
Could you remember 10 numbers?
Can you remember one number? No.
Yeah. A lot of people couldn't. What about you, Wolfgang Ruthier Rode? Could y'all remember 10 numbers, 20 numbers, 5 numbers? How many numbers could you think you could remember?
Actually, I can remember quite a few because that's what I do. I got quite a few numbers in my head.
Okay. That's your job. It's different. You know, if that's what you do, it's different. But, you know, the average person can. The average person. Remember when we was young and we was in school and we met that girl? We would write a number on our hand. We would memorize the number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We would be like, yo, I got to call her when I get, we'll remember it. But technology has made us very, very lazy. They call it smartphones. We call it dumb phones.
Yeah, technology is the gift and the curse. It's a gift and
yeah.
a curse. You know.
If you
so
see
I don't know
one
road.
Person spoke up. We, I'm telling you. We, it's
yeah,
hard.
So where the, who else technology. Is on the line with you?
Ruth, who do we got with us?
I'm still here, honey. I just was...
Queen Nye.
Okay, hello, Queen Nye. Good evening.
Oh, there she is.
Good evening. I'm
okay.
here.
So you heard the question.
How many numbers can I remember?
Mm-hmm. Technology failed. Computers went down. Cell phone went down. How many numbers can you remember?
I don't know how many I remember, but those that are close and important to me, I remember their numbers by heart.
Okay.
You may have, no, let me take that back. As far as Cleveland numbers, I know I remember yours and Linda's. My family's, I remember my dad's, so I remember my grandmother's, I remember my mom's, my sister's. I did have my brother's memorized until he changed it, and I remember the first six numbers. And then the last four are iffy. Actually, there's another Cleveland number I remembered. I remember those that are close and important to me.
Okay. And you better remember Jasmine number, because if you don't, that's going to be a problem.
I don't.
But the point is, if you can remember one, you're doing good. The way this technology is, it's like, think about it. Here go another one. Ask any child that you have, and show them a watch and see if they can tell you what time it is.
Right.
They don't even teach
or
that
the
anymore.
Telephone.
We don't even know. Yeah, we don't even teach to use a face open face clock no more.
But the other thing is that the way they tell the kids to do the math now, and they come up with the same answers that we did when we were doing math, but they just got a different formula for them to do it, which is kind of weird, but that's the way they're learning.
It's backwards.
You
know what's crazy, though? I'm going to tell you what's crazy about that. When I was in school, my teacher said, how did you come up with this number? And because I always did backwards math. I don't know why. That's just how my brain works. And she couldn't understand how I come up with the right answer. Like, and then I'll show her the way. She's like, how did you do that? I think I might have invented that.
Maybe you did. I was just like, that's weird.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody think they could do this math problem in their head? Start with 1, and then you add 2, then add 3, add 4, and go all the way up to 100 and come up with the answer.
Oh, my gosh.
And
do it in their head.
Add 1 and add 2 and then add 3.
And yep, and then add 4, add 5, add 6, add 7, add 8, all the way up to 100, and come up with an answer.
I'm just tired thinking about that.
Right.
I think about that one. Tired.
Well, to be honest, I've done it the normal way, doing it that way, and then there's another method you could do it and still get the same answer, and I've done it both ways, and I've done it in my head.
Well, give us an example.
And then you can tell them all about the Googleplex, too, darling.
Give us an example.
And the answer to that question is 5,050.
Hmm.
What?
Well, that's. I see what he's saying because he's adding each number, but it's a task. I get it. So you go on one, then you go on one plus two, right? Then you go on two plus three, right?
You go one plus two is three, plus three
right.
is six,
right.
plus four
right.
is 10, plus five
right.
is 15,
gotcha.
And you keep going
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yeah.
But the easier way to figure that out, well, when you go up to nine, you get 45. Well, you figure that out through all the way to 99, you got one to nine is one round, 11 to 19 is another round, 21 to 29, 31 to 39, and so on. Each one of those equal 45. Okay, and then
right,
you just go, okay.
You break them up to intervals.
And then you go, okay, all the tens come out to a certain number, and you keep going like that, and it comes out to 5,050.
Right. You just break them down to intervals. You hear me? It's numbers. You got to really be like a numbers person, man. That's just a headache to me. But, yeah, I'm good, man, so I could do it if I really sat down and do it, but it's just a lot.
Yeah, but
lot.
I've done it in my head.
So,
but then again, I'm a mathematician, so that's something that is easy for me to fiddle around and do.
Simon?
Yeah, you definitely got to be a numbers person.
Come here.
So,
gotcha.
Come here.
Six.
I'm a house of sweetie.
Come here.
So you asked me, you asked me something, and I can't think of what it was. I was trying to keep on everything you said. But, yeah, as far as, like, in New York, I couldn't understand the life of me why people would go to New York and get spit back out and come home so fast, right? Because,
uh-huh.
you know, it's like if you can make it in Cleveland, you can make it anywhere, I feel. And
uh-huh.
when I went to New York, I went with the mentality of I'm not turning back. And, you know, and a lot of that goes wrong. I've read a book called Think and Grow Rich like a long time ago. And one of my favorite passages in that book.
Kiyosaki?
Was,
about Kiyosaki?
No, by Napoleon Hill.
I was thinking the Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Yeah.
Kiyosaki. Okay, my bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is by Napoleon Hill. But the biggest passage in it that I love that I adapted to was they had these two ships, and on both of the ships were like 100 men, and they were going to fight on an island of a million men.
Uh-huh.
And the captain said, "Men, when the boats reach the shore, burn them." So the whole mentality of that was you either going to die or you're going to win this battle because we ain't turning around.
Uh-huh.
The ship's going to be burnt. So that was my thought of New York. Like, I'm not turning around from New York. Are you serious? So the way I even went, this is the genius, like, part of it. The way I even went to New York is that when they started calling me from New York to come to New York, I had no money. I had no nothing. I had no way there, nothing. So I was dating this girl actually on Euclid, and she was like, "Yeah, my sister is in New York. She a stripper, you know, she's stripping." They got one of the flyers. It was a flyer for this spot called the Africa House, which later on I ended up going to the Africa House, checking out the Africa House. But it was a flyer. See, and back then they only had beepers. So it was like a lot of, if you want tickets, here's a beeper number. So it was like mad beeper numbers for tickets, right?
Uh-huh.
So I called a couple of beepers just randomly and put the number in. And one dude called back. His name was Mike. I was like, "Yo, y'all," and he said, "Yeah, what's up with this?" I was like, "Yo, this Stereo, man, I'm from Cleveland. I want to come to New York. I sing." He was like, "Oh, you sing?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I seen your number on this flyer for the strippers, you know." Like, now, Mike's father, he managed strippers, but Mike stripped too. And he was like, but his father managed that dude Quentin Marcellus has a song called BDBD Bop or something with a rapper on there. And his father managed that rapper.
Get his stuff off the face.
And so Mike was like, well, can you get up here? I'm like, yeah. So he was like, come up here, you know what I'm saying, da, da, da. He said, all right, come on up here. So I got up there. Now, how I got up there was a girl named Arja Washington who used to manage Greyhound bus station downtown. She was the supervisor. And
okay.
So I tell you how I did this. So I went down to the bus station and told her I lost my ticket to New York. And she was like, you lost your ticket? I said, yeah, I don't know what happened. I'm going to get home. So she said, I'm going to put you on this bus. He said, but, you know, you got to be careful, but I'm going to put you on this bus and make sure you get to New York. I was like, oh, I appreciate you. So I got on the bus and got to New York. So I'm in Port Authority. Man, as soon as I get to Port Authority, like, you know, I was sheltered. I ain't going to front because I've seen some shit at Port Authority, man. I've seen these two dudes. They like, Quan, come here. I'm looking like, oh, my God, where am I at, right? So I called Mike like, yo, I'm here. I'm about to come get you. So he came. Like, we took him a long time to where he came. Got me. We got on train to go to Brooklyn. So we get on. We go to Brooklyn. We on No Street in Hancock. I mean, when I tell you, I ain't never seen. I was culture shocked, man. I have never in my life seen so many black businesses and black people in one place in my life. And you know, he took me to his crib. His mom was in the bedroom. His mom was cooking breakfast. And he's like, yo, they said he's in the brownstone. And he's like, yo, leave your suitcase at the door and just come in. So I left the suitcase in the hallway, came in. So I'm just standing there. So his father was coming out the bedroom to sit down and eat breakfast. He was making coffee and all that. And he was like, who is this, Michael? He was like, this is Craig, the one from Ohio, talking to you, saying, where are you going to live at, Michael? So, hold it down while I'm standing up. I told him you could come down here. You know, I told him you manage, what's the name? You know, he's looking for somebody to manage him. So he's saying he in Billboard right now. He blah, blah, blah. So he ain't saying nothing. I'm still standing up, mind you. His wife done bought him his breakfast, eating breakfast. Now I'm still standing up, right?
Uh-huh.
So he said, you sing? I said, yeah. He said, I said, my pops, you know, he plays for the old days, you know, kind of my family, and, you know, I'm into music. I love this music thing. I'm trying to really do something. He's like, let me hear something. So I had a cassette tape, of course, with all my joints on it with the instrumentals, with the backgrounds, you know, for my EP.
Uh-huh.
So I threw a joint in. I did the song off my EP called When I Think of You. And I sung it live with the music playing.
Give us a little bit of it. I got my coffee right
the
here.
The joint is like, huh?
I got my coffee right here. Go ahead and sing, young man.
I used to. But the joint is called When I Think of You. So it's like, when I think of you, I get a funny feeling, the kind of feeling I never felt this way before. I know your love is true. And if it's not, so give me what you got. I'm willing to take this chance and explore. My dear, say I'm crazy, but I'm addicted to your love. It drives me so insane. I love you, my lady, but I'm addicted to you, baby. You know it's so true when I think of you, when I think of you. I get a funny feeling, you know, so he jammed to it. So then, after I finished singing, he's like, Michael, get the playing seat. So, you know, we chop it up. And he's like, so what you trying to do? I said, well, like I said, I'm in Billboard, and I'm just ready to get it popping. I really don't know, but I know I want to, you know, do my thing.
Uh-huh.
So he was like, all right, so, you know, we got to figure it out, you know, what's going on. You're going to probably need to get a job or something. Blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to show you, man, when you want to do something and you focus, the universe just opens up all the doors for you, man. All you got to do is stay focused. That's why they say don't chase the money, chase the dream. You know, right down the street, my dude named Rich stayed down the street. Now, Mike introduced me to Rich. Rich was Africa's brother-in-law, Africa from the Jungle Brothers. See how it's all connected?
Mm-hmm.
And Rich threw parties. Rich knew everybody. Rich was, we the same size, so we hit it off right away. He's like, yo, Africa and them doing a new album. They had just got their new deal on Green Street, on G Street Records. So
okay.
He's like, yo, I'm going to introduce you to Africa and them, you know, so we can occupy your help. So he introduced me to Africa and them, you know, the Jungle Brothers. And Africa's like, well, we have our equipment and stuff in 3 months. The record label is getting us all new studios, and you need to come through. You can come put some vocals down and listen to the album. It's called Soul Deluxe. That's the name of the album. And he said, we're going to be working on it. You can come, you know, to make something happen. I'm like, bet. So in the meantime, Rich was like, y'all about to do this party. Why don't you come up to BMCC, the college, and pass out some flyers with them like that. I met my first girlfriend at BMCC. You feel what I'm saying? Named Shante.
Uh-huh.
So then Africa was like, and my first New York girlfriend, you know. So Africa was like, Rich was like, yo, I'm throwing some parties. So we say cool. So Rich knew this dude named Funk. Funk had a publishing deal with Sony. So Funk was producing. He had a group called 7669 was producing for Sony. You ever seen them? They on the motorcycle girls with their shirts off, with face
in
front. Like, their back is to the camera. But they all got their shirt off, but you can't see them, but their back. But anyway, he was dating one of the girls named Elle. Elle was really instrumental in showing me what to do in the studio. You know what I mean? She was like, no, stereo, check this out, blah, 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 and this and that and the third. So I was like, all right, bet. So she was showing me some stuff I didn't know. So
mm-hmm.
I started writing for Brandy and everybody else through Funk. You know, so I was putting my sit down right there. I was getting my, you know, getting my, walking my dogs, getting it done. So then 3 months later, I started working with the Jungle Brothers. And then it just started spiraling into, you know, I got me a crib. Like, I wanted to get me a new crib. So I end up, Doc from UTFO seeing me at Funk's house. Yo, what you doing up here? And guess where he remembers me from? The Plush. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So Doc was like, yo, what you doing? I said, man, I just came on. I'm ready to get busy. You know what I'm trying to hide? He's like, oh, babe. He said, yo. He said, what you saying? I said, I'm on Hancock on my dude's house with my homeboy. But I'm really trying to get my own place and get, you know, get it. That's what Doc does. He's like, yo, my father got my father got an apartment in his basement in the house at Flatbush. He said, you could get that for like $250 a month. In New York, $250 a month? Anything like that in New York is down to like $700-$800 a month. You feel me?
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, bad. So he take me over there. Yo, the spot got a shower, kitchen, everything. And I thought I made my first daughter down there. You feel me?
Okay.
So now, yeah, ain't that something? So, but peep this out. Across the street from me is Kenny Green. Baby, little baby Jerry. Ask me who they is. First of all, baby Jerry is a part of Full Force. Kenny Green managed intro. Around the corner from me is Full Force, the whole studio and everything. You feel me?
Wow.
So now, that's like, I'm going to take you around so you can meet the guys and shit, so you can meet Full Force and them too. I go around and meet Full Force and them. Yo, this story is like bananas. I go meet Full Force and them, and B-Fine is like, oh, so you write, huh? You sing. I said, yeah, I be doing a little something. He said, well, you know, we always looking for some writing because we got a lot going on. They got a big studio in the basement. It's a damn near 20-bedroom house. Each one of them got a bedroom with a studio in it. And so in the living room is the office where the receptionist is and all that stuff. So he's like, all right, so this is what I'm going to do. He gave me a cassette tape with 90 tracks on it. And he gave me a boombox. He was like, yo, this is a Friday. Keep this out, y'all. Pay attention to this because this is prolific. He gave me the cassette tape and the boombox. He said, y'all, let's go, you know, go check these out and see what you can come up with. Write some stuff, you know, and then holler back at me, man. We'll check it out and see what you come up with, right? Six. You hear me, Six?
Uh-huh.
I take the cassette. I take the boom box. Go right around the corner to my little apartment in the basement. Turn that shit on. I write every song. I stayed up, did not sleep that whole weekend. I went back Monday. Everything was done. 90
wow.
joints. The nigga said, I know you ain't write all these. I said, I'm done. He like, get the fuck out of here. That's exactly what B-Fine said. He said, come on. He put me upstairs to the studio. We start playing song for song, background, lead, vocals. He was like, God damn. He said, y'all niggas from Cleveland hungry. I said, listen, what y'all got here, y'all take for granted. We don't got that where I'm from. I said, everything is here, man. I said, y'all get deals like, you know, y'all right here with the record. We don't have that, man. Niggas hungry for me. Every song I wrote on the CD, on that cassette tape, went to everybody. Britney Spears, Barrio Boys, what's her name? She was a friend of mine. Kelly Price. You name
Kelly
it.
Price?
Everybody
okay.
got a
okay.
drink from me. You feel what I'm saying? I was popping. Them niggas was like, yo. They was like, man, I ain't never seen nobody do this. They was going crazy. They was going crazy. They was going absolutely crazy. Like, I ain't never seen this before. And it was at a time where Full Force was almost being blackballed because they was charging a lot for production. They was hot at one time. You remember they had Lisa, Code Down, UTFO, Real Roxanne, Shante. They was charging niggas off the ass with shit.
Yeah. They price went up when they did up real for James Brown. They price went up.
And a funny story, when they did the James Brown album, I was cracking up because B used to be like, he said, man, we in the studio with this dude. We like, ready to record. He's like, turn it up, I can't hear it. Turn it up some more, I can't hear it. And he's like, the headphones in the chair. Yo, I was crying.
He didn't have the headphones on?
No, he didn't have the headphones on.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So as far as being in New York and starving.
Hold on for one minute. Who's on the board? Mikhail, are you on the board?
Yes.
All right, let's take a break. We are in good company. We have celebrities here also. So let's take a Chris Jasper break, and let's take a my mentor Len Tolliver break, and we'll be right back. You listen to the 6 Hours Radio Network backstage. We'll be right back with our guest, Craig Stereo Hitman Baxter. We'll be right back.
This is Len Tolliver. You're listening to the 6 Hours Radio Network.
Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by 6 Hours Radio.
All right, and we're back.
And you forgot Chris Jasper.
No. I played the thing because Chris Jasper is not uploaded to this board. Not yet.
Yeah, we definitely want to send out condolences on the part of Rudolph from the
6,000 Network. We couldn't hear what you were saying, sir.
I said we want to send condolences out to the Isleys and Jasper family on the passing of Rudolph of the Isley brothers. Yeah. So we want to send our condolences to them. All right. And we're back with Craig Stereo Hitman Baxter. All right, brother, have a good time to catch your breath and take a break because you've been talking for quite some time. So let you get some water, and here we are.
Yeah, I had a question of my own, Six, for our guest, and that is, has he ever produced any, like, background soundtracks that are just music? Because my wife and I are, and a friend of ours are a group, and we sing with background soundtracks. Have you ever done any kind of thing like that for people?
For like movies, or what do you mean?
So that a group like us could sing to the background music.
Oh, you mean you need music? You need tracks?
Yeah, music tracks.
Yeah, I have tracks, definitely. It depends on what you. I'll have to hear you guys. I'll have to hear you sing something so I'll know what you're looking for. But I got an arsenal of music, period, in all kind of genres.
Okay, well, I'll have to get your number off the board, and then what I'll do is I'll have to give you a call, tell you what I have in mind. Okay.
Okay, that's excellent. I have a whole team of producers, they platinum producers and writers and everything. So I might have a song you would want to sing, or I might have something that you want to pin something to, or you want to get something done to. Yeah, I'm definitely open for that. Like I tell everybody, it ain't going to cost you an arm and leg, but it's going to cost something.
Can we send him a copy of the album?
We'll work on that, but it's just like I said, it's the particular song I'm looking for, I can explain it to him, and then he'll know what I'm looking for.
Okay. Why don't you do your song, Just Because I Don't See You?
No. Not tonight.
Not tonight, Ruthie.
All right.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm open for, definitely I'm open for that. Like I tell anybody, no matter what, I'm never too big or too small to work with anybody because you never know who's going to be who.
Uh-huh.
You know, you never know who's going to be the next anything. So I never turn down an opportunity to work with people.
And that's good. That's good. Remaining humble. That gets you anywhere you want to go. Now,
I have to ask
this question. Okay. So being that you're in your career that you're at now, who is six people you would have liked to have wrote for that's passed on?
That passed on?
So it's going to be six people that's passed on and then six people current that you would like to write for.
That's a wide range, six whole people.
Six past and six present.
Six past and six present.
I mean, you have to do this.
Why
not be easy
one? Well, I know for one who was here when I was trying to get the right for him, but it was politics, and that was Luther Vandross. So I wanted to do a joint for him. And then the song that they end up doing for him was Whack. Because it was him. So he was, it was going to be a hit regardless. But the wording, it's like, and you heard the song, Excuse Me, Miss, What's Your Name? You know that song? And then he's like, you know what I'm talking about? So listen to this part. I'm a lyricist, because listen to this. Maybe you could go out something to the park. I'll have you home before it's dark. Can I take you out tonight? How you going to have her home before it's dark, but you taking her out tonight? Explain that.
Yeah.
So I was really heated about that. I know who wrote it. I know. I'm just like, come on, y'all. But you know, that type of stuff.
You know what? I never thought about that.
You know, I'm just a real lyricist. Like,
tonight to move to the park. I have you home before
right.
It's dark. If it's dark, it's already
right.
Dark.
Thank
so
you.
So if you took her out at 12 noon, I'll take you out
thank
at 12
you.
At noon. I have you home before it's dark. Yeah, now that
right.
Would work.
Right. So I was really excited about that. Certain things, but okay, let me get into the question, though. So six people, well, Luther being one of them, that passed on. I have to say definitely Prince being one of them. Definitely Michael Jackson. Well, I already told you about the Michael Jackson, one
okay.
of them. Who else can I say? Who else did I think?
Aretha Franklin.
No, Whitney definitely one of them.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that. Whitney Houston, definitely. I knew Whitney, too. That's crazy. And who else?
I'm surprised. It's two of them. I guess I'm thinking for you, but two people I thought you would definitely name. You haven't named yet.
That
would be Phyllis Hyman and Minnie Riperton.
That was a little bit before me. You gotta remember, they was way before me, and they passed way before. I was born in 69, so they was a little.
So
the time it passed when I was here, but Minnie Riperton, she passed a little before me.
Yeah,
but Gerald. Though I would have loved to do a dance for Gerald. And then
who?
I'm gonna tell you something.
Who was that last?
Crazy. Gerald LaVert.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you something that's crazy. Sean, before he passed away, I was right there with him in the studio downtown, and he was picking out a couple of joints for his album.
You talking about Midtown?
And Tony Nicholson, huh?
Talking about Midtown?
No, not Midtown. What's the name? God, where they be having the shows at and stuff. What's that studio? I don't believe I can't think of the name of the studio. Where they be having the concerts and stuff at. Studio was in the back. I can't even think of it, man. But anyway, he was down there, and I went to go see him because he wanted to get a couple of songs from me. And he picked the song called Get Lifted that I had. And Tony loved the song. The orchestration on this song called No More that I did. But, yeah, he picked a couple of joints, and all that happened, and he passed. I was like, damn. That would have been crazy. So now alive, who would I love to write for? Well, I already got one. That's Walter Williams. Definitely him. I already did a joint on him. Who else would I? I don't know. It's kind of like a hard pill to swallow because, I think I'm going to keep it a buck. When I was hungry and thirsty, when I was really trying to make my chops, I would be able to run off a whole bunch of people I would love to write for. But I'm going to touch so many people in the game that I never thought about that question. You know what I mean? I don't work with so many. So it's hard to be like, damn, I'll write with such and such. I'll write with, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to wrap my head around who I would write for now because I don't work with a lot of people. I can tell
that's
you I won't work with no more. Yeah. I tell you I won't work with no more, though. That's the damn thing.
Go ahead. Hey, who wouldn't you work with?
I would definitely not work with Keisha Cole. No, my dear first.
Who?
Keisha Cole. Yeah, and I definitely won't work with Beyonce no more, ever.
No Beyonce?
Mm-mm.
Wow. And who was the one before
Glenn
that?
Damien, though. and Keisha Cole. Keisha Cole.
Keisha Cole. You don't want to work with Keisha? Okay.
No more. No. You got, I'm not one for the attitudes. I'm not one for the diva stuff. I'm not one for, listen, we on the same playing field. Hey, you know, I don't like when people switch up, like, and try to act like something else. And sometimes that be my downfall because I'm so grounded and so, you know, humble that sometimes people take that the wrong way. But I'm just like that. Like, I don't feel like I'm more than you because I'm doing something. You know, if I can help you do something, I'm with it. You know what I'm saying? But I just don't feel I'm never going to throw that at you like I'm something that I'm not or I'm something that's better than you because we all the same.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We all the same. We all human beings. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now,
I can't stand when people act like that.
Now, I'm a Macy Gray fan. I like Macy Gray. Now, that's somebody, if I could write songs, that's somebody I would pen a song on. I like Macy Gray. And I think Macy Gray is underrated. I really do.
Yeah, she is. She sure definitely is. I like her, too. I'm going to tell you something, too, for you today, Six Eyes. You know that what that is?
What's that?
You have the real story. You have an unsolicited real story about Stereo the Hitman. And I say that because nobody ever got to hear nothing that I told you in no interview. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I'm keeping it 100. I'm keeping it a bean. Not even people that I know this story. Like, they don't know this story. You know how tight we is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got the adulterated version of Stereo the Hitman, Craig Baxter. And a lot got to do with, I think, because you know my mom like that. You know what I mean? And we've been cool for years. You know, you got the unadulterated story, man. I never, like, people always, when I speak, sometimes I'll speak on something like the Michael Jackson thing, or I'll speak on something. So I don't go into detail. They're like, man, he just told me, because I don't go into detail. I just say I had an experience, it's what happened, and I keep it moving. I don't feel like I have to explain. You know what I mean? All the details. I just, hey, this is what I did. Because I've always been like that. I don't care who I vote for or what I did. Once that project is over, it's done. I'm not really talking about it. You know what I mean?
I'm going
to the next thing. You know? And I said it's so simple, like so normal that the average person who never experienced it or never could even see themselves doing it is like, man, he's just talking shit. And that's how people are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of times when you can't see yourself doing it, you don't think nobody else could do it. You know? So I learned to walk with that and keep it moving. Like, I don't care about that. You know what I mean? But this is the first really exclusive interview that I'm really talking about my journey.
That's what it's about here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network. This is where the stars come, the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Put this number in your phone, 515-605-9340, 515-605-9340. This show is also being heard on iHeartRadio, Apple Music Podcast, Spotify. We're everywhere. So we're everywhere, brother, 6 Eyes Radio Network. So what's next for you? Did you have a question, Nicole? Go ahead.
No. I'm listening. I'm definitely enjoying this.
Yeah. So what do you have coming up next as far as who you're working with and how can people find you on social media?
Okay, well, the next thing, I just finished doing Janet Jackson and Dale. So that's going to be big. Coco Jones, that's going to be big. And basically, they're trying to give me a House of Blues tour with this single and, get on a couple of spot dates and stuff. So, you know, that's in the air. But you know what, man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm just like in a part of my life where I'm comfortable. You know what I'm saying? There's definitely not no money shortage over here. And I'm really just chilling. I'm running this label. I'm running Universal with my partners. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to find this girl just 2 days ago that's so dope. Same, right? She's incredible. Great marketing look. So I'm looking forward to working with her. Also, just, you know, signing new talent and really putting some real good music down. Other than that, you know, excuse me, I'm not smoking weed, nobody. I don't want y'all to think that. I don't smoke or drink. Just trying to get over this little cold, you know, weather change. But, yeah, so I'm just looking at, that's really a laid-back future, man, like I'm doing now. I'm just laid back. I'm enjoying it. You know, I'm enjoying life. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just, you know, laid back chilling, man, enjoying life. You know,
I said, that's excellent. That's excellent.
Yeah, yeah. Just laid back. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to worry that, you know, my only thing is just to relax, man, and enjoy life. People forget about the little things in life, man.
Did I hear you say Janet Jackson?
Yeah.
Love you, Janet.
My partner, Shaka.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Dude. Hey, man. Yeah. Janet is, what, 56 now? 56, 57?
Yeah, something like that.
Love
yeah.
Janet. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Mike Wilkinson, yeah. I mean, Mike Wilkinson. Jeff Tite. Wilkinson from
yeah, Jeff Tite,
Cleveland.
Yeah.
He just did Tito and some stuff for the Jacksons, like a couple of years ago.
Jeff Tite. Shout out to Jeff Tite. Yeah.
Oh, you were saying, too, you want to say something about how people with this publishing and their business take care of their business.
Yeah, get
so
it,
the
baby.
Politics.
It's called Get It, Baby.
Yeah,
yeah,
get it,
yeah
baby.
I heard
that
song by Tito. Yeah. Tito Jackson, Get It, Baby.
Mm-hmm. So when you, when you told me, when you were saying about the politics, well, it wasn't the fact that they beat me for End of the Road. It was the politics that was in play. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
What people don't realize is this. This is all structure. It's not about what people think it's about. These are all chess pieces. They create these things and they put these things the way they want to put them. And there's nothing you really could do about it other than you're going to either get your money or you're going to be in a lawsuit for years. Lynn Tolliver was in a lawsuit over with Too Short. And not too far from when he passed away, he got $10 million. You know how long that took? He sold him for that I Need a Freak joint. And he had just got the $10 million about probably, I would say, a good year maybe before he passed away. So you're either going to be in a long lawsuit or whatever. But the way I got on the song or started messing with the song anyway, I wasn't even supposed to do that. So $60,000 was cool with me, and the track was cool with me. You know, I was cool with that. But at the end of the day, it's a lot of things that have to do with the politics. The record labels want, if you got a hot producer like Babyface and a hot producer like L.A. Reid, they want those names on that project.
Right, right.
You feel what I'm saying? That's going to sell that project. They want the Timberlands. They want the Kanye West, the, you know, because it's going to sell. And how they got in their position is because they knew, like Kanye, he knew, you know, what's his name, took a liking to him, Dame Dash. You feel what I'm saying? Dame Dash put him in position. So it's like about who's with a name going to put you in that position. And that position is so, what you call, shaky and insecure that you have to be careful. And I get it because these people are like, you could put the wrong person in that position. You feel what I'm saying? These people, it's dangerous. Like, at the end of the day, I knew a dude from Cleveland who worked for Teddy Riley. Teddy Riley was giving him like $70,000 for remakes and something like $100,000 or something for a final track, like an original joint. And so when he seen Teddy was getting $3 and $4 million for such things, he wanted to question it. They beat his ass and sent him home. You know what I'm saying? Because you signed up for what you was getting. Now you looking at my pockets, and now you fucking up the business because you agreed to what you was getting. So you think that I'm getting this. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of things that could go left in this business that people don't understand about this business. You know what I mean? Like, artists be feeling like they locked in, but they got to realize when they are locked in, you feed the multitude of people. So you ain't going to just get up and say, I quit singing today. I don't want to sing. Because everybody is counting on you singing, so everybody's family could be taken care of.
Uh-huh.
You signed up for that. So it's like you have to be careful what you sign up for, and you have to be very careful how you move in this and how you navigate through the waters. You know, people don't look at it like that. They feel like, oh, he did this, or he Puffy ain't shit, his contract was. But you didn't even read the contract before you signed. You was hyped on the words he was saying to you. You didn't do no math. You didn't do no research. You didn't do no study. You didn't get nobody who had your best interest because, excuse me, because you got to look at it like this. Even if you get a lawyer, entertainment lawyer for your contracts, and they get in negotiation with the record company, the record company lawyer don't care and the lawyer you hire don't care. You know why? Because no matter what the outcome is, guess who's getting the check? The lawyer.
Yeah.
He's still going to get paid. He don't care what kind of position he puts you in. You just got to know to tell him this is what you want and what you don't want. If you ain't study shit, how you going to tell him that?
Right.
That makes sense?
That's why I always tell artists that I work with that, you know, you got to know the business. You got to know something about the business. You don't let somebody run everything and you don't know nothing. You just talent. You mess yourself up. You might sign away your whole. Yeah, you might sign away your whole rights and don't even realize it because you being a dummy.
Come on, a good example of that is what you just said. 90s was all about, call my lawyer, call my accountant. Now, every artist you see in the 90s right now, they can't even get back on because they don't even know how.
Right.
They have other 90% people in their
business, 10% show. 90% business, 10%
period.
Show.
Period. They have
so
other people in their business. Yeah. So you have to be on top of your game. You know, that's what my father and my mother taught me all the time. So I wasn't going in, like, you know, without my head on right.
That's right.
If you ain't hearing about it, take care of your business.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I would never let my client sign a contract without going over it with them, you know, word for word, because you need to know what you're signing. You don't want to sign away all of your rights, your name, and somebody else own your property because you didn't read and understand your contract.
Right. That's a fact.
So, yeah.
That's a fact. Tix, what was you going to say?
Yeah, so The part that people don't understand that. So you got another business, but what is a 360 deal?
Okay, so there is birth 360 deal. So used to be the contracts down with the record label is about the records and the production. With points and escalations, meaning you'll hear some people, y'all just signed the deal for $2 million. I just signed the deal for $3.5 million. But little did they say, the first year of this contract and the first album, the budget is only 100 and something thousand. And if I sell this many records, it get boosted up to maybe 200 and something thousand. But if I don't, it's not getting boosted up to that. You know what I'm saying? So if you do exceptionally well in that first album, you get boosted up to 200 something. You do exceptionally well on that album, It goes up. It escalates. So that means that's your record deal. It's the boost. So when you see a $2 million deal, it ain't you getting $2 million up front. You're getting all this is production and some upfront money. And only thing they're controlling is the records. It used to be they couldn't touch your show money. They couldn't touch your tour money and none of that. There's Born, the 360 deal, which incorporates not only your record money, but your performance money, the merchandise. All that is in one conglomerate, a contract now, which is a terrible deal.
Okay,
I mean, they
okay.
own a piece of everything that you're doing.
Anybody listening, stay away from those 360 deals. Stay away from those
right.
360 deals.
But a lot of these young kids were signing and thinking they were getting on, not knowing no better. This is as Megan Thee Stallion when she first came in the game. That's why she was fighting to get off that deal with what's the name from South Prince. What's the name from the label Down South because. That's what he had her on, and she figured it out. Like, oh, no, I got to get out of this deal. Somebody pulled their coattail, and then it was Rockefeller. It was Rock Nation. So they ended up starting to manage her, and then they got her out the deal. Then she went to Rock Nation.
Now, are you a writer for ASCAP, or are you a writer for BMI? Which one are you with, BMI or ASCAP?
ASCAP.
You with ASCAP.
That's
okay.
The three. It's BMI, ASCAP, and CSAC, but I'm on the ASCAP. I've been on the ASCAP for, like, forever. I literally walked in the office on one Lincoln Plaza at the time for ASCAP. So you know that was a while ago.
Yeah. ASCAP is right in Tennessee, right down there in Tennessee.
No, it's one in New York, too.
It's one in New York. Okay, I know it's one in Tennessee,
too. The original office in New York, huh?
It's one in Tennessee, too.
It's probably, of course, that type of a huge company. They got some in Europe and everywhere.
Okay. So I have a friend who writes songs, and I wish he would have been on the show tonight, but when you write songs, what's the criteria if you write songs and you register as a writer and publisher with ASCAP, correct?
Right.
Okay, so I think that's like $150.
So you could register. At the time, when I got the ASCAP, I did a writer for them to publish, and I did a publishing company as well. So I could publish anybody. And as well, I can ask that to be my publishing company. So let's just say, this is how I use it. Let's just say I'm doing a collaboration with somebody. And we do a song. If they don't have a publishing company, I'll just publish it under my company. The splits is the same. I'll just be the one cutting the check. So they'll still get their splits and they'll still get their publishing. It'll be under my publishing and I'll be the one cutting them the check.
Okay.
If they don't have their own publishing company. So 9 out of 10 times, you could do that. That's easy, It'll be registered. But at the same time, I try to teach them how to register their own thing too, because it's good to have your own publishing company.
So how do you do that? So can you explain how to do that?
Well, you could go online and go to ASCAP.com and fill out the form. It's like, everything is like at your fingertips, You could fill out the form at ASCAP.com, get your publishing company pop. You have to use three names just in case the name you want that somebody already used it. And once they pick that, you're good. You pay the fee. Online, you can do everything online. Same thing with copyrights. You can do the same thing with copyrights online. Pay your copyright fee. I would tell you on the publishing, on the copyright side, don't just copyright one song because it's like $80 for one song. But if you copyright songs as a conglomerate, you're only paying $80 once. And then now you're naming it a work, so everything is covered.
So how many songs can you put in there?
You could do a whole album. You could do more than that. Just name it a work. You got to name it whatever the project you're going to name it.
Okay.
Because if not, you're going to be 80, 80, 80, 80. You're going to be poor trying to copyright that song.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong. The poor man copy doesn't stand up anymore, right?
This is the thing. It will stand up, but at the same time, with this technology of the internet, now everything is mandated. So this is why even with all my clients, I use Cash App, because it's mandated. You can't even fight. Yeah. You put something on the line, you could tag the line and say this is what this is for, and it's an automatic date. It's like a postal date.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's very hard to get around these things now because it's all documented.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
I mean, other than just doing music, I do financial consulting. So I got a lot of consultants a lot of clients that are billionaires, millionaires, and they don't know what to do with their money, they don't know what to invest in, and I'm cold with it because I got people with Stanley Morgan Dean with it that's just making moves for me. I got the short shot deals, so what I do for my artists, artists as well as my clients. I got people who were security guards as millionaires now that just walked away from the job because they giving me part of their check to invest in the shit, and it was like in the turnaround for their money was like 2 or 3 days type shit. So I got a whole plan with all that. That's a whole nother interview. But, I got financially savvy on some cold shit. I mean, got dope with that. And that's just learning. Man, I'm a Gemini, man. I'm a sponge for knowledge. You know what I'm saying? I read when I can. I don't know how to read. I read. You know what I'm saying? I go in.
That's awesome.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's like one thing about our culture, man, is that, you know, we have to learn to be financially literate, man, because that's going to be so important and prolific in your life. You know, a lot of people, like, don't understand what financial freedom is, man. It's like, you know, you're working for somebody who got a company who's making $1 trillion, and that paycheck they're paying you is only a penny to them. You know what I'm saying? You still ain't getting what you should be worth. So at the end of the day, you a creator just like they're a creator. You got to find what you know how to create and create that revenue, because it's easy to create something and get paid off of it. You know what I'm saying? One thing about us is we look at the big picture, but don't look at the small picture. You stay small and own it all. You just got to know how to kick them dollars in. And everybody's got it in them. They just got to know how. And that's the part, the know-how. We all know what we want to do, but we don't know how. And a lot of times we're scared to admit we don't know how.
Uh-huh.
You feel what I'm saying? So that's why I come in. I'm going to show you how. And then you're going to see it works. And then you're going to say, oh, shit, because it ain't really hard. It's just that from the day when you was born, they taught you to believe in everything except yourself. Told you some dude coming out the sky, he going to save you. You going to be good. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You waking yourself up in the morning, they tell you somebody else waking you up, the Jedi mind trick. Real talk. People convinced you some kind of Illuminati is out here. Every time a black person got celebrity, he got killed by the Illuminati. Come on, man. We are really not that important for some kind of conspiracy to take our lives. We human like everybody else. We die. People, yo. I swear to God, man, I ain't saying some of this shit don't be true, but some of it is just outlandish.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying some of it is just crazy.
Okay. So my next question is, what do you think about the capture of the killer of Tupac? What's your thoughts on that?
that's just, I'm going to tell you, I remember I said this. When the feds do something and they ready to take your ass down, they got an ironclad way of doing it. They not going to miss. They about to sink Puff. Puff is out of here. KPD is just one of the components to help sink Puffy.
You talking about my friend Sean Combs?
They messing with that man. Yes. He's out of here. Mark my word. Remember, I'm telling you this on this interview, so when it happened, you're like, that nigga Stereo said that.
Nah, he just gave a lot of artists their publishing back now. He turned down a big deal.
I'm glad
he turned down a
big deal. You know why?
Why?
Huh? Because Trump just had them sign paperwork for everybody to get their publishing back because it was like a slavery thing, and it was against the Slavery Act. And he signed the contract, which made everybody have to get their publishing back because it was like owning papers to a slave. It was like a slave. Think about it, man. If you own everybody's shit that they worked hard for, what is that?
Yeah.
So he signed the bill. So Puffy tried to jump out the window first.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so, you know, Puff, you know, we're not gonna get into that, but here's the thing. So you got Craig's estate, you got Craig Mack's estate, you got Christopher's
mm-hmm.
estate, you got
mm-hmm.
you got Black Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully that goes to them too. You know,
yeah,
they're fine.
Even though it's going to go to them, you got to look at it like this. It's going to them, but guess what? It's saturated. He's giving it back at a time where it ain't worth nothing no more.
Yeah.
He didn't juice it.
About the only thing it could be done is somebody redo it and sink light the
yeah.
thing. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. Puffy tried to jump out the window and make it look like he did something so it could look good. That's all that was. You got to understand how these dudes move. He wants to look good. Oh, yeah, I'm giving him the put. Now, Mace been out for his public. For how long? Now, all of a sudden, he giving it back to him. Well, why was he fighting in the first place if he's a good guy?
Yeah.
Because you know he in the corner. But not only just that, he's about to go down for Kim's death, his baby mom's, because she's about to do a tell-all book about him. He's going down because he got Pac killed because he got into it with Suge people and one of the Suge people got killed and they retaliated and he got big and all that. Come on. I live this shit. It ain't like I'm just talking from social media. I was there. I've seen it all.
Uh-huh.
And the feds got him. They got every piece of thing that the feds will study you. And to the day is long. And when they got that ironclad case, they ain't worried about nothing after that. They know they're going to take you down. Think about it like this. Anybody on the phone, you ever seen a federal case that the feds didn't win and locked the person up? Never. You know one, let me know.
Uh-huh.
I don't. I was just saying I don't.
Never. When they want you, they got you. And they gonna do,
mm-hmm.
they ain't going to do it dirty either. They're going to put it all out. They're going to study you. They're going to look at everything thoroughly. And when they come in to get you, know you got. Just know you ain't got no defense. That's a fact.
Definitely.
He going down, and guess who's going down? Jay-Z about to go down.
Now, why they messing with Sean? He ain't dead nuts.
Shit. Jay-Z about to go down. First of all, Jay-Z been running from this kid his whole life. Understand? Remember that video, Big Pimpin'? Big Pimpin'. Remember that video?
Uh-huh.
And the girl in the white, the model in the white on the boat, she was underage. Jay-Z had a baby. He paid her to touch it up. And she passed away from cancer, but the son still was pursuing him to get a DNA test. He'd been avoiding this shit for years. Now he's up against the wall. Because the minute he take that DNA test and he that baby's father, he's going to jail for statutory rape, which has no statute of limitations. Not to mention some other stuff. He's going to jail for, he got a bodyguard that he killed because he had pictures of Beyonce and his wife, I mean his daughter, jacking off on that. I could tell y'all some shit. Let me shut up. But I'm telling y'all, you don't remember I've told you certain things, you're gonna be like, this nigga stereo said this shit. I'm gonna be the first one across your mind.
It's crazy. It's a lot of stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they always say what's done in the dark comes to light. So, you know.
Yeah. Just like Will Smith, what you think that Will Smith and Chris Rock was about?
Yeah, now what's your thoughts on that? Because I thought, well, you know, not being able to see it, you know, but, you know, that Hollywood looks at Will Smith and Chris Rock as their sons, Hollywood sons. So
right.
I don't think anybody expected that to happen and it be real. But from my understanding, Jada and Will have been separated for 7 years. So if that's the case, they were separated at the Oscars. So what triggered Will to react like that? I mean, what triggered them to react like that? That's what I've been trying to figure out.
First of all, anybody else? I'm going to hear everybody else's opinion. What y'all think?
I don't know. I thought that they were together, and according to what the media was saying, it was like, you know, at first he laughed and then he looked over and saw her face and that's what upset him and he went to go defend his wife. But to go to that extreme, I think he could have handled it better. Why would you throw your anchor or a dagger at your career at that time and handle it like that? It seemed to be something deeper than that, because he's always been a cool and level-headed guy, you know, doing his career and everything. And I just thought, okay, something else deeper is going on, but I just didn't know what.
Okay. Any more takers? Oh, go ahead.
Well, being celebrity, it's a lot of pressure at times. And, everybody has a – I mean, it's like making a pot of coffee, making water for coffee. Once it boils, okay, it can't get no hotter. So once you get fed up, I mean, you got to release. You know, so I think, you know, something was going on and he just reacted. That's what I think.
And then I was going to say – I was just going to say, the other thing I thought about, okay, is this something political behind this? You know, meaning that you get too high and they want to take you down. They will only let you get so far.
You smelling in the right coffee.
And I'm gonna say this,
mm-hmm.
and I think we were talking about this earlier. You was talking about Tyler Perry, you know, him trying to buy BET, and it kept going up on the price. And then you look
mm-hmm.
at, you know, when Bill Cosby tried to start his own label. If you don't play the game, then they're gonna take you down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say I would say Oprah knew how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
But the men, you know, it's a difference when you come to a man. Oprah knew how to play the game to get where she wanted and what she wanted, and she had the talent.
Well, it's easier to scare women than men. That's the thing. It's easier to scare women.
Right.
You know, it's easier to scare a woman than a man. But that's good. Anybody else? What about the other people on the cast?
Anybody else? Roe, are you still there? Is Roe there, Wolfgang? Anybody want to chime in on this? Can't hear you, Roe. Okay, continue. I don't know where she went. Go ahead.
All right, so y'all ready for me to blow y'all mind?
Yeah.
You ready? What's her name again?
Queen Nye.
Oh, yeah, Queen Nye. You ready for me to blow your mind?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so the most important thing about that night is simultaneously, the Oscars was everywhere in every country, all over the world. That's the one thing. Keep that in mind. Number two is that was the one night in the whole history of Oscar night that the most black people got Oscars that night. Right?
Political. Mm-hmm.
Number three is go to YouTube and put in Will Smith smacks Chris Rock. You're going to see original film of an old India movie where the exact same thing happens. Politically, the same exact way.
Put in what now on YouTube?
Just put in Will Smith smacks Chris Rock.
Okay.
You're going to see the same exact thing happen in the old movie. The same exact way. I mean, exactly the same way. The exact thing. So, basically, the Oscars has always been prejudiced. They always never had. Remember when we were protesting about how black people weren't getting Oscars? So they say, okay, well, the night that we're giving them the Oscars, we're going to make a thing about this all over the world. We're going to tell Will Smith. You got to remember, Will Smith and Chris Rock, no matter who they are, what they are, they're part of Illuminati. And I ain't going to even say Illuminati. They're part of the upper echelon. They're part of that people, those people.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to do what they're told to do. They're part of the higher ups. That's one group. That's a group.
Yeah.
So everything goes. So now it's, this happened on a black night. This is why we don't want niggas in the office. You get it? Go look at that. When you see that film, you're gonna lose your mind. You're going to go, oh, my God. This shit was acted out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, so you being a songwriter, who are some songwriters you think are good besides yourself? I mean, who else do you rock with?
Like I said, Babyface, definitely Michael Jackson. R. Kelly is just the resurrection of, I don't even know who. I want to say Marvin Gaye, but I can't even say that. This nigga is so cold. R. Kelly was just so incredible and wasn't funny, man. They sunk him because he started asking about his catalog and stuff. They did him dirty. A lot of people, see, and then you got to understand the media is bought. They buy the media. They buy the news. The same people who build you up are the same people who take you down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Can we honestly say this is what happened, or can we just say these are the images and the stories that's told that they're saying it just happened? And then R. Kelly, he even helped bring Jay-Z down because Jay-Z funded Living with R. Kelly, that whole shit.
Mm.
He funded that. You know, Surviving R. Kelly.
And didn't know that.
Like, yo, this nigga know good and well he ain't shit, and this is what he did? Okay, well, let me start talking.
It's crazy. Wow.
Yeah. It's wicked, man. It's a wicked world, you know, Sixton, to come back to me. I'm so blessed, man. When I say blessed, God gave me the choice to look at it through a window without being affected by it, without touching it. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I know it's just from who I am, and I know who I am, and I know that I've been blessed to have an early awakening of who I am, being woke. And I just was able to look through a window. You know, I used to, one thing always stuck in my mind, be of the world and not in the world. And that's always been me. You know what I'm saying? I'm of the world, but I'm not in the world. So I don't partake in these type of things. Or I don't look at these type of things the same way. I happen to have parents that taught me or that scared the shit out of me to not be a part of these things. My mother used to always weigh drugs to kill you, boy. You better not take no drugs. You better not be drinking. And I took that to heart. I always thought drugs could kill you.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You better stay away from these girls. These girls are, you know what I mean? You better find your girlfriend. You better, you don't be just messing with me. You know? And I took all that shit to heart. And then it really hit me when I see how these girls move on tour. I haven't been on tours, man. And I'm telling you, man, these women, these groupies, man, is trifling. So I'll say, you know what? After the show, I'm in the hotel room knocked out. I don't want to see nobody. No, you can't hang out. Can't do none of that. Because you don't never know what they want. You don't never know what they're going to do. You don't never know who sent them. I went to Vegas All-Star Weekend, and it was girls, 10, 20 girls renting one room out just so they could rob niggas in Vegas.
Wow.
By any means necessary. Yeah. These things, you got to be careful. That's why when I look at these things now, when I look, watch TV or I see shows, certain shows, I'd be like, I watch all the Queen's Men. That's one of my favorite shows, boy.
Right.
Power, or, you know, stuff like that. But when I look at these shows and see how vulnerable they are to the women on these shows, how they just let any strange woman in because they think she could come in, I'd be like, man, you don't know if she here to set you up. They don't, you know what I mean? Y'all in the game of street shit. Y'all throwing shit that you getting money and you killing people or something, you gonna let any broad next to you like that? But this is how it is on the road. Not saying niggas kill nobody, but you in this game of making money, you doing shit. And you ain't never just have your thought in your head like what she want. You only wanna satisfy what you wanna satisfy, but you ain't worried about the repercussions that could happen. I always been that kind of thinking dude like that.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that. Like, what she want? What she going to do? Who is she? You don't know what type of person it is.
That's interesting right there.
Like that. Huh? What did they think?
I said that's interesting.
Yeah. Yo, I apologize. I feel like I've been talking too much.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. Definitely going to have to have a part two. Going to have a part two on this.
What'd you say? What'd you say,
Say it again.
I said, Queen, I said something.
No, I was just listening. You can continue.
Yeah, sometimes I go on the tangent because there's so much I want to say, you know?
What was your take on Israel?
Say that again?
What's your take on what's going on in Israel?
Man, I'm going to tell you something. I don't even know if that's going on in Israel, man. Let me tell you something, man. Ever since they had film and footage and stuff, man, they've been messing with us with images their whole life, man. You feel what I'm saying? There might not even be nothing going on. That might be a way for them to get money. If you ain't studying in Israel while the bomb's going off, don't be the hype. It's sad to say, but this is how America moves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like you going to the corner store and you see this dude every day. He's like, let me get $1.06. You give him $1.06. Let me get $1.06. And you give him $1. Let me get $1.06. And then he's like, man, I'm not getting it. Every time I see you, you want $1. But you come back to the store and he got a gun in your rear. You going to give him $1.06?
Wow.
Yeah.
This is what America does. They put you under arrest. Under the arrest. And to make you do all kinds of stuff you don't want to do because they're scaring you. This is how they move. So when they keep asking, then the people get tired, then they create a reason why they need to keep giving. We ain't even supposed to keep paying taxes. The taxes was the end of the Cold War. But they still paying up, making us pay taxes. This is why Donald Trump laughing at him. Yeah, all right, take me to court. Y'all know what it is. They'll take me to court. Everybody in the Congress got to go because they're doing the same shit. I love that nigga. I don't know. And people got to make me mad. I ain't never mad at this motherfucker who's just honest. They want to be lied to. They mad because this man is saying what he want to say. But he the only president came to play that everybody got paid from. They had no problem spending that bread, did they? You seen more niggas with new cars than you ever seen.
Yeah.
But now it's all bad. But they didn't have no problem collecting stimulus checks. Especially that judge in Ohio with some other people who got millions and sitting in the jail after that shit.
Man, well, we know, listening to you talk, you know a lot about the entertainment business. You know about the a lot of the artists and just working with different people, and you do learn a lot of things that you don't care to know, you know, because you're in the business and you're working with people, you know.
Yeah.
But it was put to me a long time ago before I got into entertainment that the entertainment business is really like the pimp business. And when my godfather told me about it, I thought about it and I said, yeah, I guess you got a point there. But yeah, it's like the ones who are really, really up there are dealing with the, we're going to say, the upper echelon, you know. Mm-hmm. and believe it or not, you got to pay your dues in some form or fashion.
Right.
And if you don't understand that, then you really about to mess yourself up.
That's a fact. Now, I'm going to say this. Well, so what you do, Kunai, what you do in business?
I manage artists and entertainers in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Who's your godfather?
Did a couple of film projects. I'm sorry?
Who's your godfather?
He's deceased now, but he's I had a couple. The one who talked to me about that is deceased, Randall Warren. And then we also have another godfather, Charles and I, and ATL, Harvey Scales, if you know who he is.
All the names sound familiar.
Mm-hmm. Well, Harvey Scales wrote Disco Lady.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, and he's worked with some other artists too, so. But yeah, I worked with, I had my own entertainment company, you know, for a while in Atlanta, but my career was basically in engineering design.
Oh, okay, okay. That's dope. Yeah, I remember Atlanta when they was just getting their feet wet. You know what I'm saying? When they was just getting their feet wet in the industry, and the first real company in Atlanta was what's his name? Babyface, you know.
What's
the name of the label?
What was the name of the label, Charles?
What's that?
Babyface label. Babyface when he was in Atlanta. Label. I can't remember it either.
LaFace. LaFace Records.
LaFace.
Yeah, LaFace Records. Because I was making T-Bone for like 3 years. You know? And they was just brand new. But,
Face,
you know,
record.
Luke used to come through there all the time. Luke used to come through Atlanta. Like, it was his
second home. What was that?
Luke Campbell that had the boys that they went to court about them talking crazy, you know, 30 minutes in their rap.
Talking about Luther Campbell?
Yeah, Luther Campbell. He used to go through Atlanta all the time. Yeah, LaFace was the first professional company. There was a lot of niggas, you know, they really put the country niggas on down, like Dungeon, Ying Yang Twins and all them niggas, the Dungeon family.
Yeah,
and all that, they was like kind of coming through there and stuff. But yeah, they the Face was really the first. But then Atlanta grew. I kind of watched Atlanta grow up in hip hop. They grew up.
Yeah,
they
did.
Long way. You know, I got my great grandmother stayed in McDonald, Georgia, so I used to visit, you know, Atlanta a lot. So yeah, they came up.
I lived in McDonough for a minute.
Yeah, the red dirt roads. All right. So, yeah, they grew up. They grew up a lot. They came out a lot in hip hop. But, that's the thing. It's like, you do see, you know, he was as close as I was. Like, it was crazy, man. It was like, you see everything. I used to sit in my boy Benny's office with Busta Rhymes and sit all day with them niggas and Violator Records and all that shit at Def Jam in New York. Yo, Benny used to be like, man, cause when I come through the building, it was what's the building? It's on, but Def Jam, I can't even think, I don't know why my mind is keeping on, but anyway, I used to be in the building and coming through the building and Cash used to be rushing me, giving me the demo, and then he was like, damn, you look like you an A&R coming in. I was like, yo, Bimmy is, what's his name, sister? I mean, brother. Deb's brother. And that Waka Flocka.
Okay.
And you know, that's Deb's brother, but he's also A&R for LL Cool J. And then Waka Flocka is his nephew. So, yeah, that was my dude. Ben was my cat, though, you know. And I used to be in his office. I used to be up there with Mona Scott. And
okay.
Violated with Mona Scott and what's his name? They tried to say he killed himself. Steve, I can't think of his name. My mind is going to blank. But anyway, they tried to say he killed himself, but he ain't killed himself. You know what I'm saying? If you knew him, you would know, like, this nigga did not kill this guy. Something happened. You know? But he had Violator Records. He had all them on Violator. He said Violator was doing their thing. He was doing their one, too. I sold holler to B&M, to Lenny Santiago for the Black Album for Mrs. Bleak. I sold that track to them. They and that's funny because my manager at the time, I don't know if you know Charm Warren. She's from Cleveland, Ohio. Charm Warren. You know Charm, right? Six.
Where he go? Six.
Six.
What's that?
You know Charm, right?
Wake up.
Huh?
You know Charm Warren, right? Charm?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Huh?
I'm right here.
Do you know Charm? Charm Warren.
Do I know Tara?
Charm. C-H-A-R-M. Charm Warren.
Charm. Charm.
He's from Cleveland.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. Charm used to run
right
the whole flavor unit.
Okay.
She used to run the flavor unit, but Charm put me on to, she's the management Trigger the Gambler at one time. We was on tour with Speech from Record Development.
Okay.
But she, okay. Yeah, so, I was going to say something. Oh, so she had a dude, she was managing who did Beats. He was out of Indiana. I never met the guy in my life. And she was like, Stereo. I was like, what's up? She said, I got some tracks from this dude, this young dude from Indiana. He's pretty good. You think he's going to sell some tracks up at Def Jam? So I said, yeah. So I went up there and played some stuff with Lenny Santiago. And the beat that he, that Memphis Bleak picked was Holler. Holler on the Black Album. And I sold it, you know, selling that track to him. You know, and he was on the album. I was like, okay. So she was like, all right, good. So we made that happen. But it was simple as that for me. Like, I knew people. You know what I mean? I knew everybody. So it was like, it was what it was. You know what I mean? You could play stuff. You could take your hair. You could see what they wanted. It was just easy. I don't know why it was just so easy for me, but that's just the type of person I always was. I never looked at nobody like a star. I just looked at them as a human being, you know? And I dealt with them as such. It was never, oh, man, it's Jay-Z. And I was, yo, what up, Jay? Yo, what's good? And this is what it was, you know? So I never looked at anything different like that, you know? Irv Gotti. Irv gave me a track. I was walking through the hallway. He's like, Stereo, man, what up? Then I got this track. It sounded like some West Coast shit, but see what you could do with it. He gave me the DAC. I took his video, laced it. Man, that shit sounded, it sounds so different. He's the guy who gave me the shit. He was like, yo, he's not gay. I said, yeah, he's dead. You the whole shit. And I said, no, I just took it on photos and stretched it out and made it strong. He was like, yo, this is right before he did the soundtrack for Belly, too. He was like, yo. He said, yo, I'll come produce it for you, put my name on it, use my name, and let's put the record out. And I'm only going to charge you, what did he say, $2,500, and you can just give me $500 up front. I'm like, bet. Now, the clown that I was dealing with at the time, after we needed me, he want to say, man, let's put it out anyway. I'm like, hell no. Are you crazy? Like, I don't like people like that. You want to end my whole career doing some sideways shit. You feel what I'm saying? Come on, the man literally heard the joint. He's looking at what I'm saying, what he'll do. And then you want to go sideline. Are you serious? I stopped messing with him. I stopped dealing with him.
I don't blame
him. Yeah. I said, no, bro. I stopped dealing. You're not about to kill my name in this shit. Yeah, I'll stop doing it. All right, so Six, you ready to wrap it up?
Yeah, we can go ahead and wrap it up because we don't know when. he done had a long day.
Right.
Hey, dude.
I ain't coming on this radio station no more.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm just messing with you.
Don't say that.
I'm back.
Oh, man.
I'm back.
Way back. You know I'm messing with Six.
I'm right here, brother. I'm right here. Had to go pay my water bill, but I'm here.
Okay.
Had to pay my water bill. All right, I want to thank everybody who tuned in tonight with our special guest, Craig, the Hitman Baxter, Stereo. Want to thank you, man. Always, you got an open invitation to come back. Anything you want to promote, feel free. Second home, give you the keys. And, man, just welcome to the family. Definitely want to thank you. Share this on your social media. Make sure you join the Six Eyes Radio Network group, just like it sounds. Six Eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O, network, N-E-T-W-O-R-K. You just enjoy the best in online radio, the Six Eyes Radio Network, with our special guest, songwriter Dario the Hitman Baxter. So, man, thank you for your time. God bless. And we're going to get out of here. But this is available on iHeartRadio, Apple Music. Just simply go to the search and subscribe. Type in Six Eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Press subscribe, follow. And Six Eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, radio, network, the number 2. All right. Good night. God bless. Thank you, sir.
My information.
Go right ahead.
We'll have all my information so you can hit me up for that music if he's still there.
Definitely get that to you. All right, I got to get ready for another show.
I appreciate you, man.
Oh, no problem, man.
Y'all.
No problem.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
so,
we
man,
appreciate
like
you and thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so like I said, man, we'll definitely be talking. I got to get ready for my other show, 11:30. If you want to join us, that's 424-243-9617. And after that, it's sleep time. So just want to thank everybody. Good night. God bless. Trumpet is asleep. So good night. Otherwise, he would have said goodbye.
All right.
All right, man. Good night.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Nice to meet you. Good night.